The women of Bethany Baptist Church are hosting the Priscilla Shirer simulcast at Bethany on April 8th from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Plan to join us for a full day of praise, prayer, and worship with Priscilla Shirer, well-known speaker, teacher, and star of the life-changing movie War Room. There is an early bird registration discount until February 12th. Registration includes lunch, snacks, and beverages. For more information, call 412-242-3255. To register online, go to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze begins a new series titled, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of today's message, How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit.
James said, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and it vanishes away. You might think you got a long time, and we might have a long time in comparison to Earth's terms, but in light of eternity, it's a drop in the bucket. And you're gonna look for me, I'm gonna look for you one day, and if you don't see me preaching down here, come on up to bright glory, because I'll be preaching up there. Amen, amen. As we come today, we are continuing the series that actually was birthed out of the Feast of the Lord. And last week, we talked about the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, and we said that that was the day that the Holy Spirit came. As a matter of fact, let's start there this morning. I think we're going to be moving around a little bit, but let's start in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Let's start there in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to kind of just see where the Lord guides us and directs us today. Acts chapter 2. And it says here in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and remember we talked about last week, on the day of Pentecost, I'm not remembering exactly, but I think they had to offer a bull, two rams, and seven lambs. That was one family. So you can imagine all these families coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. There was animals everywhere. And I was talking to someone last week, and they were sharing, they had talked to a Jewish guy who was over there in Israel and knew about all these sacrifices. And he was saying that on these days, like Pentecost, because now keep in mind what was happening, that each one of these animals, now I'm not trying to be gross here on a Sunday morning, realizing that, you know, some of you just ate breakfast and some of you are going out for lunch. But when you think about how did they kill those lambs? And actually what happened was the priests would, and again, no animal rights people here today. If you got a problem, you got to take it up with the rabbis. So I'm just telling you what happened. Is that they would take a knife and slit the throat of the animal. So you figure one family, that was a bull, two rams, and seven lambs. And they actually had to dig canals that went under the city, because when they slit the throat of these lambs, they would drain the blood in these canals. And this rabbi was saying that on these days that the blood was so thick, that there was so much blood on these feast days, that they actually had to run a bunch of water behind it because it would get plugged up. So when we read a scripture like this, you know, we just kind of think, Pentecost, you know, and kind of like let it go at that. But we don't think about all that actually goes into making this happen. So on the day of Pentecost, you know, we got to keep in mind, it says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know, what was happening? know, there was a lot going on. And so when this happened, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And this was the coming of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus promised. In John 14 and John 16, he said that he would send another comforter. He said that he would send the Spirit of truth. So this was the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here we see on this day the power of the Holy Spirit as it had come. And as we look around today, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. So actually, based out of this series in out of the feast, I want to talk to us on the next couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit and ask this question. Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up? Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up? Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we realize that there's just a lot of confusion about the third person of the Trinity. And so, Lord, I pray that in my feeble attempts to try to explain it and make it clear, Lord, I pray that you would help me to stick to your word and don't say anything that your word doesn't say. Lord, I realize that this is a very controversial issue. So, Lord, let me say what your word says. And Lord, let me not speculate, let me not surmise, but Father, allow me to exegete. And as we exegete the word, we pray that you would give us a correct understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we open your word today, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, out of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we think about the Holy Spirit over the history of the church and even up until recent days, there has been a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit is. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, if we look at the Bible and we get a definition from the Bible, this is the definition that we have. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, okay, who is co-equal, that means everything that the Father and the Son is, he is, who is co-eternal, that as long as they have been around and will be around, he has been around and will be around, and of co-essence, that means the same essence, the same thing that the Father and the Son are made of is the same thing that the Holy Spirit is made of, with the Father and the Son. Now, this is the correct definition of the Trinity. Now, if somebody would say, turn to X passage in the Bible and we're going to see the word Trinity, then you can X them off and call them a liar because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But this book is stamped. This book is just permeates with the Trinity. All the way back from the beginning, all the way to the end, we see that the Trinity is there. And so we're going to look at that as we go through this series. I'll be showing you how that the Holy Spirit is God, but that's not our subject for today. But this is a definition of the Holy Spirit. So we were talking about a new members class today. How do you know when with all these people on the airways, whether it be radio or television, how do you know when somebody's telling the truth and somebody's not telling the truth? And I said, you have to, first of all, I think, be in a solid Bible teaching church. That if you are in a solid Bible teaching church where the word of God is being taught and preached, then that's the first start. And then the second thing is that you have to become familiar with the truth. Okay, familiar with the truth. So this is the truth. So now, if we'll look at some false theories concerning the Holy Spirit. One says that the Holy Spirit is a mystical entity that moves mysteriously throughout creation. All right? So what does this do? If he's just this kind of ethereal spirit that just kind of floats around in the universe, moving from place to place, then that denies the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the third what? The third person. And so we are going to look at some time in the future, what it means when it says the Holy Spirit is a person. But then, you know, there are others that say that, well, the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. He's not a person, but an active force. He is a divine energy that permeates throughout the universe. And so he's this energy, almost like you remember the movie Star Wars, and the Force be with you. And so some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and also Christian Science. So again, this denies the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up? He is the presence of God. Now, there's one group that would say the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two separate things. And this would be our good friend, the Mormons. They say that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are different entities. They say the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit is like the presence of God. You know, he's not a separate person, but he's the presence of God. You know, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person, and also that he is God. So the Holy Spirit, anytime you see the word Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost in the Bible, it's the same thing, exact same thing, no difference. But here the Mormons would try to tell us that they are two distinct entities. As we continue on, we see that some people say, Islam in particular, says that he is an angel. Islam believes a couple of things about the Holy Spirit, but one of the things that they say is that the Holy Spirit is an angel, and some even go as far as saying that he is the angel Gabriel. So anytime that Gabriel showed up in the Bible, that was actually the Holy Spirit. And then the Unification Church tells us that the Holy Spirit is a female. They say that God is the true Father, and if you have a true father, then you need a what? You need a mother. And so they say that the Holy Spirit is the true mother, and that as the father and the mother come together, they can produce offspring. But this denies the masculinity of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible refers to him in the masculine gender. So I just want to let you know that there is some confusion out there about the Holy Spirit. So as we go through this series, there may be even people here that have different ideas about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But as I said, we want to try to lay out what the Scripture says. Now this morning, you know, I want to talk about the fact that we need to learn how to operate in the fullness of the Spirit. That if we understand how the Holy Spirit works, and believe me, there's just a whole lot that needs to be said, and I can't say it all this morning, and I realize I can't say it all this morning, so I'll say it over the subsequent weeks. But this morning, I want to begin by talking about how to operate in the fullness of the Spirit. It is God's will, it is God's desire that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not some mystical thing. It's not something that belongs to a certain group of people. But this is something that is available to all of God's children. The fullness of the Spirit. I should be able to come to you. Now, the book that Jeff referenced this morning, The Calvary Road, Roy Hessey. And he talks about the fact that you should be able to go to another Christian at any time of the day and ask them, are they filled with the Holy Spirit? And the answer should be, yes, I am. And Hesiod goes on to say that if at some point you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that if you would just fall on your knees and just ask God to forgive you for whatever has hindered the Holy Spirit from working in your life, that God will touch you afresh and anew with the filling of his Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody, he stood up teaching a class one day, and he held a glass up, and he said, how can I get all the air out of this glass? And somebody said, get a pump and suck it out. And he said, that would just cause a vacuum and the glass would collapse and crush. And then he went and got a glass of a pitcher of water. And he poured the pitcher of water in the glass. And he said, now there's no more air in there. What is he saying? He's saying that the only way that you can get the air out is to put the water in. And the only way that we can get the sin out of our life, the only way that we can live a victorious life is to allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. And as we think about this idea of being full of the Holy Spirit and walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I want to look at a couple of things this morning. And the first thing that I want to say is that in order to operate in the fullness of the Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And this term walk in the Greek is not a wish, it's not a hope, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. He says, walk in the Spirit, that there's some intentionality about this thing. And as I think about walking in the Spirit, it involves two things. Number one, it involves you, and it involves the Holy Spirit. That if you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about that this morning. If you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, then we have the precious promise that he will fill you, empower you, teach you, guide you, indwell you, baptize you, all those wonderful things that the Bible says the Holy Spirit will do, that he will do if we will just yield ourselves to him. Now, what does it mean to walk with the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing it means is agreement. That if you're going to walk with someone, that you have to agree with them. Amos, in Amos 3:3, he says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two people walk together unless they agree to meet and they agree to walk together? And so in order for you to walk with the Holy Spirit, there has to be agreement. And so the first thing that you have to do is that you have to be in the Word. Look at, I told you, we're just going to let the Spirit guide us this morning. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And it says here, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture. Well, what is Scripture? The Word of God. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy or the proclaimed word or the word of God came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So now, if the Holy Spirit was instrumental in writing the word, as I read the word, what am I doing? I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a part of writing the word. So if he was a part of writing the word, and now he is this third person of the Trinity who now dwells in me, oh my goodness, How can I lose with the stuff I use? You got the Word of God outside of you. You got the Spirit of God inside you. And so all you have to do is begin to bring some agreement there. And as the Word of God agrees with the Spirit of God, oh, man, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So number one, there has to be agreement. Secondly, there has to be surrender. Back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, look what he says. This I say then, walk over the Spirit. No, he didn't say that. Walk under the Spirit. No, he didn't say that. Walk around the Spirit. No, he didn't say that. He said walk where? In the Spirit. All right, now watch this. Watch this. If something is in something else, right? If this hand is in this hand, then this hand kind of controls. Or if I'm driving my car and I get in my car. Now, I might be driving the car, but what do people see? People see the car. And so what does it mean to be in the Holy Spirit? It means that you are in Him and that He is the one who guides and directs your life. He is the one, oh, hallelujah, that people see. What did he say? Walk in the Spirit. If I walk around the Spirit, people might see me. If I walk over the Spirit, people are going to see me. But if I get in the Spirit, oh, man. Whew. If I get in the Spirit, this is the idea of surrender. I surrender and I get in the Spirit. It involves progression. Well, what does that mean? That means that walking means that you are going somewhere, right? He didn't say stand in the Spirit. He didn't say sit in the Spirit. He didn't say do the Michael Jackson moonwalk in the Spirit. He said walk in the Spirit. And that if we are walking in the Spirit, that what is our goal? Our goal is sanctification. Our goal is holiness. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, I am moving in some direction. I am moving towards something. Me and the Spirit are fellowshipping, and we are walking towards a specific goal. Walk in the Spirit. And then the fourth thing that walking in the Spirit signifies is lifestyle. That means that it becomes your lifestyle. That this is a way of life for you. That the only life that you know is life in the Spirit. Wow. But sad to say, this is not the testimony of a lot of God's people. That they know life in the flesh. You know, I had some of the good saints. Some of the good saints. I've heard them say this. And you might have been one. I'm not going to put you on Front Street. I'm just going to put my religion on the shelf. Well, you know what you might as well go on and say? You might as well just go on and say, I'm getting ready to walk in the flesh. Because that's what you get ready to do. What you're saying is that I'm getting ready to get out of the Spirit, if you were in the Spirit. I'm getting ready to get out of the Spirit, and I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell you off, and then I'm going to get back in the Spirit. I'm going to get out of character, and then I'm going to get back in character. Well, the Bible says that we should walk in the Spirit, that this should be our way of life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit, or call 877-831-5060. That's anchoredinjesus.org, or call us at 877-831-5060 and request How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you visit our website, you can also request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Keep in mind that we remain on the air through your prayers and gifts. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.